Frank, you have something to share? You want to go ahead and share something?
Yeah, I was ministering at our meeting over there at the Fellowship Hall, and I had the privilege to minister to a dear brother, and I was here just meditating later on just a little while ago, and the Lord, I felt impressed in my spirit that there's a lot of people need to hear what the Lord ministered to this brother, and so I'd like to do that. A lot of times we think that that the devil is on us and giving us a lot of turmoil and a lot of trials, or a lot of temptation or troubles in our spirit and mind, tormenting us. But a lot of times Jesus speaks to us, and I want to share with you what he shared with the brother. And I was led to do this because it just overwhelmed me that a lot of people need to hear this. And a lot of times when Jesus spoke to some people, they thought, Jesus, this is his word. I'll quote what he said. He said, "You think that I've come to bring peace on earth, but I tell you no. I've come to cause division among you. I will turn the hearts of the son against the father, the hearts of the mother against the daughter, and so on and so forth." And a lot of times when, we think we need to be fine-tuned to the Holy Spirit and know when it's speaking to us and know when the enemy is coming against us. And we won't be deceived there. And I'm learning that, and I'm like the rest of you and all the saints out there that want to hear the voice of God. And we need to be fine-tuned to the voice and know when the Holy Spirit's speaking to us. The name of God, there is given no other name under heaven is given that will cause division amongst people is the name Jesus. When you speak it, it's going forth, and it cuts like a two-edged sword to them that can hear it and understand it and receive it. To these is a blessing. To others that had quite come in or surrendered to this name and obeyed and followed this name and loved this name, it's turmoil in them. And it will cause division among in the family, because it has in mine, and it will in yours. But when we realize and know that it's not always that the enemy, because this name Jesus is powerful, as I've just now told you, and it will solve all your questions and all your problems. Sometimes we don't need to mention that name Jesus. And if we have that name Jesus abiding in us, and we live it and allow the Holy Spirit, just let that love that we have for Jesus to overflow on our loved ones, to come out. And I have took notice over the years that, and I should have been observing this all the time. And that's the quickest way and the fastest way to get your children to, because as parents, your children want to imitate you, want what you have. And if you've got a life in you and they don't know the Lord and don't have the Spirit of God, a Spirit of life in them, they're going to want what you have. And if you just don't keep browbeating them with the name Jesus, the Holy Spirit will begin to draw them, because it'll be natural. They want what you have. And that's the way it was with me. The Spirit drawed me watching other Christians. And so I come to know the Lord that way. And so I'd like to share with you that your children have got their eyes on you. And when you speak a word against your wife or she speaks against your husband, your children take notice of that, and they listen very intensely, and it puts fear in them. But just live your salvation. We don't have to just walk around Jesus, Jesus, going to do this to you. And, we just love that name and let it flow out of us to our loved ones and to people around. That's what happened to me. And that's about it, David. I mean, that name is powerful. I tell you, when you speak it in a weak and adulterous generation, it's going to cause division.
Well, when that name enters into you, which is the word nature, character, and authority is the meaning of the word, when that enters into you, it makes a division. And we always hate it, because it makes a division between those that know and serve and are disciples of Jesus Christ and those that aren't. It doesn't matter whether they call themselves Christians or not. It'll just make a division.
It absolutely will.
And we don't seek division. We seek that others would receive the gospel and even other Christians would receive the word of God. But the name of Jesus in us divides us from other Christians that are not disciples, and it divides us from the world too. And the Lord wants that division because that word means sanctification. So don't feel like the Lord has left you if you end up having division after you come to Jesus. It's quite normal. And but if you will study the Word of God, like Frank was saying, and learn to get in tune with Him, He'll show you how to bring people around you to the Lord, which should be what we're doing. We should be all doing that. We all should be doing the work of an evangelist more or less, in bringing people to the Lord. And, you got to be weak to the weak because they're not where you are. They don't have your commitment. But a few words, rightly ordered, can start them down that road, that's what you want to be, is you want to always be edifying and always be building them up, And don't be condemning people, especially family. You get away with it less in family with family than you do with the world, but don't be condemning people that don't have that gift that you've got. Don't be doing it because they're not capable. The Lord hadn't made them capable yet to understand or to receive or to walk in it. And you can try to beat them up, like Frank was saying, beat them over the head with Jesus, and they won't appreciate Jesus very much if you do that. Right, Frank?
That's absolutely right, David.
You want them to love Jesus. It's the good news. Many people major on the bad news. They really do. They major on the bad news. But it's the good news. It's the power of God to save the one that believes it, Paul said. So tell them the good news. Tell them, what Jesus did for them and how he saved them and how he delivered them. And they may scoff at it, but it doesn't matter. If you do it in a good spirit and don't let them get you into a wrong spirit or into competition or argument or whatever, if you do it in a right spirit, you'll be sowing a seed,
Absolutely.
And you always got to be humble towards people. If you're proud, you're not going to do anything. You'll be doing the work of the devil more than you'll be doing the work of God. So some people so-called believe that they're doing the work of God, and obviously their fruit proves otherwise, So good point, Frank. Good point.
Absolutely. We need to obey the word. If the word says do it, do it. If it says don't do it, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to abide in it, let the spirit of the word. Jesus says the words that I speak, they are spirit, and they will lead you and guide you to all truth. They will humble you. They will satisfy your soul. They will quicken your spirit, and they will deliver you in an hour of need. And especially when you get the saints together, because you can believe that all the saints that were praying for me, what I went through recently, and I know for sure from the fact that the Word says that the fervent prayer of a saint availeth much.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't forget that, David.
Amen. I agree. Well, you've been very impressive to the saints around here. I'll tell you that. We've watched Frank, you know, since he came back, and he's just a different person. He's got like the testimony we had with Vicky a while back. I mean, Frank is he's not, you know, he was getting I would say defensive and offended and maybe a little proud, but all of that wasn't Frank. and that faction thing was coming on Frank, and especially when people that would contact him from the faction, it would jump on him. And we were really curious about how this could be happening, how this door could be open, what was the door that was open. And finally, the Lord really led us right straight to the problem. And Frank didn't even know it, that this was a problem. And I guarantee you, there are people out there that are the same way, Frank. They're in the exact same shoes as you were. You know, they don't know that that's what's been hindering them. What the Lord is doing is he's trying to wake them up to say, hey, here, pay attention to this. Yeah. Frank was doing what a lot of people would do. I mean, he was casting down imaginations. You know, he would have these imaginations about his mom come up, and they were painful, and so he would cast them down, like he was saying a minute ago, like it was an attack of the devil. But really, it was the Lord wanting to show Frank that there's something in there that is holding him back, some offense there, you know. And boy, I tell you, when Frank realized that the other day, and he got the revelation of that the other day, and he turned against that and began to fight against it, and of course we did some deliverance and commanding. Boy, I tell you, the turnaround was awesome. Right, Frank?
Absolutely. It was a spirit of rejection. I had that from a child. My dad went home to be with the Lord when I was 13 years of age, and my mother had five children there with her, including myself. I was about 13 years of age, and the rest of the children there were younger than me, even right on down to 3 years old. My sister, baby's sister. And I had that spirit in me because really I've heard David speak about his father.
Mm-hmm.
There's a type of love, but it's not the agape love. It's if you don't have the spirit of God, you can't love in a pure, in a natural love and compassion. And the way of the world is just it's a different type of love than the love of God.
Amen.
You've heard it many, many times, the love of the world. And there's a lot of people in right now in the bowels of hell, for things they did in the spirit of that love. It's a possessive love the world has. I don't want you, but that's the love of Satan. I don't really want God to have you. Don't want anyone else to have you. And so, therefore, and the love of God gives you freedom to love everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pure love. It's agape love. It's a love that'll never fail you. It is the love that our Father has toward you and I and the saints. That's why he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You can depend on the Word of God. It's sacred, and it'll never change. I can't change it. You can't change it. All we can do is accept it for His worth, what it said to you, and abide therein. And it satisfies my soul, saints. I rest at peace.
And that's what we've been seeing in you too, Frank, is peace and your anointing's coming back, and et cetera, et cetera, you know.
Amen.
We praise the Lord.
Praise, man. Praise
physical
God.
Strength is praise coming man. Back, too, you know.
Yeah, absolutely it is. I was thinking today, I got on a scale, I weighed 152 pounds, I believe. I said, mm-hmm. Well, Lord, I get up early in the morning, I go to Hardee's and get that gravy biscuit. It's not that good. Then I come home, and people here, one day, three square meals and a sandwich. And I got on the scales and I weighed about the same. I said, well, maybe at my age and he'd put not have a lot of weight on my frame here, and it'll help my organs, my heart and all, to beat stronger and which it does. And so I'm satisfied. I just told the Lord I'd go buy some smaller pants, shirts.
Nah, you just can't do it overnight. Some people try. They do it overnight, but you can't get it all back overnight. That's for sure. You said three square meals. I thought I saw you do four square meals the other day.
Probably you did. I did. I remember now. We did go out to a little restaurant, a fast chain restaurant, I think they call them.
Yeah.
Had a sandwich there. Yes, we did. And but anyway, I'm going to be satisfied in my spirit. My soul is satisfied, and I'm at peace. And I do want to thank the saints and every one of you for your prayers. And you're going to hear more of my testimony now in the Word of God, because I've got the Holy Boldness again.
Amen.
That's a good thing. It's not just trying to show how spiritual you are to compare with one another, but what the Lord gives you to say, He'll give you the power and the anointing to say it with boldness. And you don't have to pre-guess when you yield your mind to the Holy Spirit, because it's going to speak the oracles of God and that only. So I don't fear. Praise God.
Amen. And you know, I'll tell you something, Saints. You may be dealing with some folks out there that are maybe factious, you know. And we love these folks. We know them. We love them. They're not the way they used to be, and we know that. And they don't even know it. I got to tell you, Frank did not even recognize when this was upon him, or that people had even prayed for him, or spoken to him about it, or that he had been offended and defensive. He didn't even recognize that had happened. You know, when he got delivered of it, he did not remember what was happening when he was under it. And we found that about other people too. They don't understand. When Jesus said they don't know what they're doing, you know, sometimes that he really means that. Sometimes they really don't know what they're doing, you know. People that you have treated well, you have done good to, you have prayed for, you have been used to heal and deliver from bondage and so on and so forth, treating you as though you're just dirt trash, you know. And they don't, I'm telling you folks, we've already interviewed a few folks who have been delivered of it, and I gotta tell you, sometimes they don't even know it's happening. And that's amazing, but it's the facts. And, let me tell you two of the main things, the most common of all, for people to fall under these tormenting, factious, and sometimes witchcraft spirits are rejection and unforgiveness. And now Frank didn't recognize the rejection. He knew what he felt, but he thought it was him, just like a lot of people do, you know. But the unforgiveness was the key, and it usually is, because, you know, the Lord said he'll turn you over to the tormentors if you don't forgive everyone, your brother, from the heart. And I can remember the moment Frank got that revelation. It popped into his head. He said, "That's it." He saw it. He saw it immediately, you know, and the Lord just was so gracious.
Absolutely. It was something that I was hurting and longing for, David. And I think.
And how many years, Frank, have you had that?
Ever since I was a child, really.
70-something years.
Yeah, I'm 74. Right. I'll be 75, 19th, this coming month, April 19th. But I don't feel old. I was talking to the Lord out there driving your tractor today. The tractor, they had me. They were loading the bucket with wood, and I was driving a tractor. Of course, I was raised on the farm and know about and bringing the wood and dumping it in a little pile and then going back and loading it up again, the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think for my salvation. I'm here at what I call the upper room. It's me and the Holy Spirit here. Praise God.
You know, I was just thinking, there's people out there right now that are listening. You've suffered with this rejection thing. It's really common. It's one of the most common problems. You know, Frank talked about because parents sometimes don't love their children. Well, I can tell you something. It's more like when parents don't show love to their children. And when you got rejection, folks, you can't show love. You really can't. You're in bondage. You're afraid to show love because you think it will not be given back. You'll be in a weak and defenseless position before someone if you show love, and that they will reject you if you show love. Well, think about your parents or your ex-spouse or your spouse or whatever. If they've got that problem, folks, it's not them. It is not them. They're in bondage to a demon spirit. Some of you listening right now, you're in bondage to a demon spirit. It is tormenting your life. What is the key? Almost always, it goes back to unforgiveness from the heart. Now go back. Those thoughts that come into your mind, those people that come into your mind that make you winch, when that thought comes in, and you cast that thought down because you don't want to think about that. You know, you want to be a Christian, but you don't want to think about that. But you know what? You need to go ahead and deal with it. Deal with it, you know. Forgive that person from the heart. Ask the Lord to take that out of your heart. Tell him, you don't want that. You want to forgive. You're asking for his grace to do it, and he gave it at the cross. It's your right in Jesus' name to have it. He made reconciliation. He gave you his life, right? He gave you his forgiveness. So go to God, you know, go to God. You have not because you ask not, you know, ask, you know, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much, you know, ask, mean it when you say it. Right, Frank?
Absolutely, David, because that's God's word. And if we abide in the word, that's our Father's word to us. And if we abide in it and keep it sacred into our hearts, and a lot of time, that's why it said, be fast to hear and slow to speak. The name of Jesus is very defensive. It will, those that hate that name, it is very offensive to them. And as soon as they hear this name, but the name, I'm not telling you not to love this name and to speak this name. But I'm telling you, know how to use it in a godly and in a spiritual fashion, and let the Holy Spirit, let the Spirit of God lead you, and when to speak and when to be quiet. And so there's a time to speak up, and there's a time to stand quiet before the Lord and hear what the Spirit is saying to you. Because we got to be ourselves, got to be a partaker of the Holy Spirit of truth before we can give the truth. We can speculate, pre-guess, and say things that's not exactly accurate, but the Holy Spirit will quicken you if you really seek in the truth, and it will correct you and lead you into all truth gently.
Amen. Amen.
That's the working of the Holy Spirit, is to lead you into all truth, and it is the Spirit of the Word. Jesus says, the words that I speak, they are spirit, they are life. And they'll lead you into everlasting life.
No matter what tormenting spirit is coming against you, folks, it doesn't matter whether it's an oppression or a possession, no matter what it is, the first thing you ought to go to is to find out if you've forgiven. If you haven't forgiven from your heart, it don't matter how far back. You know, we've most recently had two people that for many affect all of their lives, you know. Vicki shared her testimony, and Frank shared his, and we've seen others the same way that have been delivered because of this, you know. I hope you don't let this happen to you, that all of your life will be spent in slavery to some demon spirit. Folks, do something about it now. Before you forget about it, do something about it now. Before you pass this little Bible study and go on, get caught up in the things that you do every day, and you forget about what's being said today, do something about this. Don't let this be with you the rest of your life. I don't care what kind of tormenting spirit it might be. It might be lust. It might be other things. You know, it could be anger, frustration. It don't matter what it is. You know, if you don't want it and you've tried to get rid of it and you've been unsuccessful, well, here's one thing you better go to first, and that is go find out who is it in your mind and in your heart who's when you think about them, there's pain there. You know, deal with it. You know, deal with it. Pray for that person. Pray as if you love that person, because Jesus said, "All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them." If you asked for forgiveness, then believe you got it and walk forward. You know, and pray for that person as though you love that person, and ask God to put that love in your heart. Not just agape love, which is good actions towards people, loving actions towards people, but also phileo love. Phileo love is that kind of love you show towards people that they can recognize. You know, it's not a bad love. Some people think it's just carnal. No, it's not. No, it's an outward and more emotionally seen type of love. It's the kind of love that children appreciate, you know, from parents, because it's emotional. They can tell you have it, you know, not just by your good actions towards them. You know, some parents who have rejection, for instance, they always provide well for their children, and they do what they think is best for their children. But if they are not able to show love towards their children, that child could very well be raised up with a spirit of rejection that could torment them the rest of their life and their children on down the line. And just being passed on through the blood, folks. This is just the facts. You don't have to put up with it, folks. Jesus set you free. He opened the prison to them that are bound. He set you free. He delivered you out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of His love. You are free in Jesus' name. You are not under the curse. He delivered you. And we have a little page on our site that's helped a lot of people. It's called Deliverance from Rejection and Its Fear. And it's under Revelations and Teachings. It's called Deliverance. If you just go there and type in a search for Deliverance, you'll probably come up with it. Deliverance from Rejection and Its Fear. The fear of rejection keeps people in bondage. It keeps them from doing and being what they can be in the Lord, because fear always stops them from stepping out, from being bold, from loving others, you know, and from being the kind of Christian that they really want to be. And they're tormented by the fact that they are not capable of doing it. And they think this is them, and it's really not them. You know, that's the devil's trick, too. He wants you to believe this is you. It's really not you. It's really the devil. It really is. Now, enough people have been delivered of this spirit and had a miraculous change and turnabout, like Frank, to let you know something.
You know, the devil is a master deceiver like that. He can put these thoughts in your mind, and they'll bring these plagues on you. As a man thinks, so is he. If you believe you got something, you've got it, because your body act and react to what the mind sends signals to your body. And if we have spirit in our minds, it keeps our body in perfect peace. That keeps your body functioning normal. That's why we're instructed to know that we are walking in the Word of God and abiding in it and not listen to know the spirits. That's one thing we need to know, because Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. I remember that Brother Charlie and I, when I was here before I went back to North Carolina, I come up here especially for come over here this time to stay, really. And but this particular time, there was a brother, a young man that had cancer. So I can call his name, because he's a saint of God, he and his wife, Brother Charlie. And so we went to visit with it was his neighbor. It'd be right down the road from him. And this particular brother, he didn't know the Lord. He was consumed with cancer. And so Brother Sharp and I, we began to minister to him, and we stayed with him the biggest part of a day or afternoon, and for probably 3 or 4 hours. And after a while, we kept ministering to him, the word only, the Spirit. And so we gave him the invitation if he would like to accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And before I asked him that, I had taken notice that he was sitting on a little short couch, and he kept moving about because his body was consumed with cancer, and he was trying to get in a comfort zone where he could get his body located in a position that he could take deep breaths and breathe good. So anyway, when we got ready to pray, we asked him, would you like to pray now? And he said, yes. And he just didn't, you know, when he got up, he leaped up. Even in his condition, he just leaped up. I believe his feet left the floor when he was getting off on that love cedar couch, what it was there he was sitting on it. He accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and Brother Charlie and I agreed and the Lord that he had received his healing. He agreed, and he was so. When I left, I could see the joy of the Lord just shining, glowing on his face, Kevin. And then I got the news that about 2 weeks later that he went home to be with the Lord. But I believe that I know that brother's soul is with the Lord in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked Charlie, the brother, about it, and he said yes. Said there's someone I won't call names that would come to him almost daily, that would knew and had been knowing him for quite a while, and every time they would come, that they'd just start talking to him and tell him he looked like death warmed over. He looked like he's fixing to just die, and he was full of life. And so that spirit come immediate, like the scripture says, Satan come immediate to rob and kill and to steal your victory. But I believe to this hour that brother's soul's in heaven with the Lord, even though he'd have been living now. You know, we have to, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and then it takes a while, you know, to in our studies to really come to the knowledge of the truth. And when we do, and those of us that has knowledge of God's Word, we need to keep comforting one another with it. You know, like David said earlier, if you're young in Christ or if you're just a newborn baby in Christ, you still need that nourishment of the Spirit of the Word, because that is what stabilizes you and builds your soul, and you grow up into a young man and then a man. But brothers and sisters, I can tell you shortly that you're going to see the manifested sons of God, the man-child coming forth, because it's homecoming for long, and the Word promised us that it's going to be a short work with us here on earth to take sin out. And then we're going to see that when we get everything in order, we're going to see the eastern sky light up.
Mm-hmm.
What can I say?
Praise the Lord. Makes you feel good, don't it, Frank?
I'm rejoicing, David. I mean, my homecoming is soon. We're going to be out of here, brother. We're going to be out of here.
I just want to get my job over with and get out of here, don't you, Frank?
Absolutely. And you know, when I read and hear the word a short work, well, I get even happier. I mean, there's nothing here, because I know what I have, and I know what I've got to look forward to. I know what I have in the future. Eyes has not seen in years heard, David, and brothers and sisters, the thing that God has gone to prepare for you that we look forward to receiving.
Mm-hmm.
I want to share this with the people. A lot of times we sing about a song that magnifying God. Have you ever really got right down and tried to magnify God to everything that's in you? And the more you think you can magnify him, the greater he gets. He is everywhere. There is no place that he is not. Even David said, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. And whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we try to magnify him and keep him, you know, as what we want him to be. But God is awesome. I hear you say that so many times. And, you know, we can't, our mind cannot comprehend the fullness and the greatness of God, brother. We can know in part, but one day soon we're going to be home with him. We're going to know him. We're going to be in his image. Our soul is being created right now in the image of Jesus Christ. The Word says so.
Amen. You know, I don't know if you're noticing it, Frank, but I'm noticing it more and more. The saints, as they're worshiping, you know, the Lord can't stay in their seats. They got to get up. And the joy of the Lord is on their face, and they just get caught up in the Lord. And wow. The other night, Frank was with me, sitting right across from me there, and we were all just worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord and singing in tongues and singing in the Spirit and getting caught up in the Lord. And I tell you, it was just awesome that the glory of God was there. And we're seeing that regularly now. You know, it's just an awesome thing. We praise be to God. Hallelujah.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, saints. We're going to pray for you. You can also always go to the elders' address there on our site. You know, if you need some counseling or need somebody to pray for you, you can go there and we'll pray for you. If you go to that rejection page, you know, deliverance from rejection and its fear, you're going to find at the end of it some prayers to pray. And there's a couple testimonies of people there, you know. You know, read through that and think about it and meditate on it. If you've had a problem relating to people, you feel like a sore thumb in the crowd, you know. You feel like you don't like crowds, you know. You got a fear of being around a lot of people. You got fear about getting up in front of people. You are not able to be yourself to people. And, you feel like people will reject you. You're afraid they'll reject you, you know. You can't love people that you know have criticized you. If someone criticizes you and do you feel rejection? If someone tries to correct you in love, do you feel rejection? Yeah. You know, that's the normal thing, is that people that have rejection don't take correction, and they feel very defensive and very offended, and sometimes they appear to be very proud because they won't take anything from anybody, you know. And so if you got that problem, go over there and meditate on the things that are there. And there's some audios there, too, you can study and listen to on forgiveness. And we just pray the Lord will bless you through that. I know he has blessed a lot of people.